Let us pray. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 26, verses 1 through 8. And it's the beginning of the Psalm of David. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind. For thy steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in faithfulness to thee. I do not sit with false men, nor do I consort with dissemblers. I hate the company of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about thy altar, O Lord, singing aloud a song of thanksgiving and telling all thy wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the habitation of thy house and the place where thy glory dwells. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Jenny Sue. Before we hear our second scripture reading, I just want to pause and note a practice that I have participated in as we've been in our scattered church model, and I want to invite you into that as well. Every time we begin a worship service, you see that I have stuff behind me. I have candles and things that are lit, but I also I light a candle here in front of me for myself as a reminder of God's presence that I can refer back to as we go through our worship. And I want to invite you, if you have a candle at home or if you have some sort of piece like that and you haven't already started doing that in our worship gatherings, you're welcome to do that. Have something that is lit that reminds us that Christ is with us no matter how far apart we are. And in the second, oh, I see Jenny Sue is pointing to the one on her mantle. Excellent. The second piece is, before we hear our second scripture reading, I just want to invite us to the practice of remembering Christ's presence by breathing together and calming ourselves as we prepare to hear God's word. So I invite you to close your eyes, root your body down in the chair that you're sitting in, and feet on the ground, and just take a big deep breath. And take another. And one more. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need those moments of grounding and silence amidst the fray of our world these days. Let's hear our second scripture reading. We're going to go back and continue from the book of Romans. We're in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Hear Paul's words to the church in Rome. This section is headed with the words, "Marks of the True Christian." Let's begin. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Pray with me. O Lord, may we be your people who overcome evil with the goodness of your loving way lived out in our lives. May we hear this good news for our community today and take it out as ambassadors of your love to the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so we hear this word of God's greeting of great love. So in the love of Christ, I want to say once more, welcome. This last Sunday of August, it feels like a pivot point in the year. The air is changing and the signs of summer are all fading around us. And for our church, we see the light at the end of the long tunnel of our distance together, hopefully. The project of refreshing our church sanctuary is nearly finished. The team coordinating the reopening of the building have set us up with really amazing guidelines that get things moving again around the church facility. And we see promising signs of the coronavirus beginning to let up in some places, offer of some possibility that we might begin to see the end of this crisis. Now, I know I don't want to be overly hopeful of that, because we must still be cautious, but in Christ, the winds of hope feel like they are blowing. Now, I'm sure you remember, last week we ended a three-part series on rest, collaborating with our fellow Presbyterian churches in Bellingham to reflect upon what it means to take God's blessed intermission into our lives, the rests of Sabbath and sabbatical and Jubilee. Now, with our hearts full, and hopefully with each of us beginning to rejuvenate as we have reflected on our own patterns of rest, we can look ahead. This fall, we're going to be turning our attention back to the Gospel of Matthew and work through a series of Jesus' parables, which, thankful for Lucy's lesson today, it was a great primer. We're pairing these texts in the lectionary cycle with the voice of the prophets. Parables and prophets both tell the truth, but they tell it in slant, giving us fresh perspective and challenging us on the ways that God's work is calling us into the world to be peacemakers. There we go. Sorry about that. Justice bringers and advocates for restoration. These are truth-telling texts, and they'll push us into ways that God's love is juxtaposed against the ways of the world. But before we do that, we're going to finish our study on Romans. The journey home into Christ, as we called it, which we have been on this summer, ends by coming home in a whole new way. And when you come home, you need to set some new rules, some house rules, how we will be together when we come home in Christ. The house rules, as we see them at the end of Romans, guide us into a new way of life together, a new way that we embrace practically as we start coming back home together in the church in the months ahead. And here are the rules that I want to lay out for us for these 3 weeks. Love, grace, and humility. In college, I lived with a group of four other guys in a house on North Garden Street in Bellingham. Being the enlightened, educated young men we were, each year we sat down at the start of the school year and made agreements about what our house rules would be. Who would be responsible for what? The dishes, the finances. Who would we allow to come over and when? When were the quiet hours? Which I laugh at, as a college house never really has quiet hours. This was all that very smart college guy stuff that we were so good at. Now, setting the house rules means you have an understanding for the parameters of life together. They can't be terribly rigid because that would alienate or frustrate. But we needed some simple house rules as a house of college guys, which would be agreements that we would share and how we would support each other. As well, the church needs house rules. We, St. James Presbyterian Church, need house rules. We have them, thankfully. And the ways we live our life together, they guide us. They're principles that we abide by. And in these next couple of weeks, I want to refresh and challenge us to abide by these simple and yet challenging rules. The first that we hear of today from this morning's reading in Romans is the rule to love. This is the greatest commandment. We know the greatest commandment from Jesus: love God and love your neighbor. It sounds so simple. Sure, I love you all. I love God. My heart is directed in good, supportive ways to flourishing and health and the glory of God, both seen in myself and those around me. It's done and done, right? Well, anyone who has been in love or tried to love another person or love God knows that it is not that simple. It is a profound effort, something that takes our whole selves, and it is so very good. I want to look at our text and see what the marks of Christian love look like. Remember that all of these teachings from Paul to the Romans come in the context of resistance to the ways of the Roman Empire, to the imperial worship of Caesar, and to the protection of honor for one's self to thrive in that empire. But instead of self-seeking, Paul tells the church in Rome this: outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. To love truly is to yield. To be self-aware enough to know what our needs and desires are, and then to find it in ourselves to set those aside for the good of the other. To yield is to make space for our neighbor, our roommate, our partner, to their needs that they need to be spoken and heard and cared for. No, not at the expense of our own, but because we are in loving relationship with the other person, we yield to them because we know and trust they will yield to us. It's mutual. I'm for you, and you are for me. Now, this way of loving in yielding then finds its outgrowth in the way of support. A community built upon the principles of love, with the house rule of love in its heart, this kind of community is able to welcome the stranger and support the needs of those working for God's kingdom in their midst. Love produces abundance. When I know that I'm loved and can love the other, the need to hoard and protect dissolves. I work out of the abundance of God's love that flows between me and you, and I realize there is more than enough love to go around. And so I can share it with those who come through my door, with strangers seeking refuge, with the poor and the outcast. Now, in contrast, the way of sin and evil in the world breeds on fear and scarcity. A community which lacks love seeks retribution and tries to even the score of wrongs done. Paul teaches the church in Rome, do not repay evil for evil. And this means resisting the easy reciprocity of evil. It is easy to pay back sin for sin. It is easy to hit back, to fight back, to yield to anger and malice. For our world, we need another way. We see how the painful divisions of reciprocal violence are ripping us apart. Certainly, there is something good about resisting evil, even to the point of protest and action. But when it turns to violence, we have left the way of love and entered into a vicious cycle. Love resists evil. Love repays wrongdoing and evil with love, a love that breaks the hardened hearts of the evildoer. And through this, love invites us deeper into relationship and support of the ones who have done us wrong, for the hope that their restoration may come in the process. Now, for us to be a community with the house rule of love at our center is for us to stand with and for one another, to stand with and for the stranger and the outcast, to stand with and for the evildoer, not in support of their evil, but in solidarity with the broken heart they bear, and seeking the restoration of the image of God that is in them, but yet so very marred by the pain and anger that the world has encouraged to build up around them. The protests and violence around our country this week are heartbreaking. And they are so complex in how to unravel them and make things new and restored again. Not complex in the sense of what is right or wrong so much. White supremacy and racism are sinful and should be resisted and dismantled in response. But the complexity lies in how this can be done. It lies in how to break down barriers of pain and disillusionment that have led to the hatred manifest on our streets and in our politics. Our hearts break for the lives lost in these protests, the lives lost that provoke the protests. And we seek a way of restoration that enters into peaceable dialogue and learning with the ones we call our enemies, in the great hope that the love of Christ might enter in and transform the hateful heart. As Paul teaches us, if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. In our house, we know that we do not all agree with each other. And we have sin in us, ways that are harmful and broken. And we will resist evil. But we will resist it by seeking peace with the one who does us wrong. Seeking peace doesn't mean letting evil slide. Seeking peace doesn't mean backing down to the oppressor. Seeking peace means loving the oppressor anyway and helping them see our humanity, their humanity, and our shared belonging as image bearers of Christ. All of this leads us to the final words of our passage today. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Friends, evil will seek to overcome us. Our house will be assailed by forces of hatred and division as we see our nation and our world being attacked even now. And as people who claim the house rule of love, we have a choice. Will we let evil win? Or will we find the way of love through evil, undoing it? This is the hope that the weary world needs right now. If you look around, it is pretty easy to get cynical about how bleak things are. It is easy to get downhearted. But the world needs the witness of the people of God to show that there is a different way. The church can often be characterized as a peculiar group of people. We are a bit odd, aren't we? Why? Because we model ourselves around this concept of radical hospitality and hopeful belonging, in that we believe that at the core of living the way of God's love, the evil ways do not have to prevail. We can live together. We can show our love in our gathering, in our practices, and in our service. This can provide hope for the world. It can show that another way is possible. As we begin to inch back to our life together in person, I want to challenge us to renew our commitment to the house rule of love. And practically, it starts with each of us turning to each other and yielding, supporting, and standing for each other. Even when that someone is difficult, even when we don't feel like it. Because when we start or restart this pattern of how we interact in that house rule of love, we begin to see that the harmful ways of division and sinful patterns of retribution are not the only way. My prayer today, friends, is that our church would be a place that agrees upon the house rule of love for each other, for Christ, for the life of the world. Let's pray. God, place your love in our hearts. Fill us with the capacity so that we may be able to share this love in the world. Stretch us beyond our concepts of what is safe or what we want to hoard and hold on to. Stretch us to be people who would live out of that abundance of your love, beyond what we even can imagine, so that we might model for our hurting world a new way. May it be so in our house, so that then it may be in our DNA, our blood, as we go out into the world in your Spirit. I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.